Vayter in Shas. Pirei Avot Bas Daf Kuf Yud Beis. Picking up on Kuf Yud Beis at the top of the page, second nine, and the line my. We just went a whole series of psukim trying to show how do we know that a husband inherits his wife. And then the Gemara wants to know, why did you bring so many psukim to go and say the same point? What is going on? In fact, the Gemara, my v'yomer, why don't you have these psukim? Answer is because v'chitema, if you would say, b'sibas haben kapid kra. We had mentioned that a woman who's going to inherit the father does not marry outside of the tribe because then the land, the Yerusha, will go over to another tribe. So if you're saying that b'sibas haben kapid kra, maybe the reason why this woman who's from one shevet can't go and marry another shevet is because of her son, meaning she gets married to another shevet after she inherited her father. She inherits from her father. She marries some guy from another shevet. They have a son. She then dies and it goes to the son. So therefore, don't marry. Aval, ba, lawyers. But maybe the husband's not going to inherit at all. And that's the reason why the pasuk is talking particularly about the son, and the husband doesn't inherit at all. Tashma, that's what you would come to think. Then let me go and prove that the husband does get it from the second pasuk that we brought in yesterday's daf. Velo sisov nachal l'bnei Yisrael mimata el mata, that an inheritance of the bnei Yisrael should not be transferred from one tribe to another tribe. V'chi teimen, if you want to say, keep pushing it and say that this pasuk also is talking about giving over through the son, and the reason that two psukim are mentioned is because la'avar a love belav asay, that we should have a love and an asay about doing these two things. Tashma, then come and see another idea, another pasuk that the husband does inherit. Says lo sisav nachal mimata lamata acher, that an inheritance should not be transferred from one shevet to another. V'chiteimon, if you want to say that the third pasuk also is trying to stop going through the son, and why do we need that? Lav or lav, b'shnei lav masay. You get over two lav and one asay. Toshma, let's come and see. It says, Elazar ben Aaron, meis. Elazar ben Aaron, he died. They buried him by the hill of Pinchas' son, which is showing that Elazar's son inherited a wife. So clearly, they inherited the wife. And therefore, you see the husband inherited the wife. That's why it was his son's thing and not his. V'chiteima. That's not a raya. Why? Because Elazar, who denasiv itza, it was Elazar who married a woman who owned that hill and then had that, and then she had Pinchas. She died and Pinchas then inherited her. Right, so it's not telling us that a husband inherits the wife. So it's telling that a son inherits the mother. Oh, fascinating. Tashma, then come and see that the husband inherits from the fifth pasuk we brought. Usguv holy, this Yair and Skuv had a child, Yair, and he had 23 cities in the land of Gilad, which shows that Yair inherited his wife. Here also is the same as we said before, by the case of Pinchas, that belonged to his wife, who gave birth to Yair, and when she died, he inherited her. Can't be, because then came to Kali Lamili. Why would I need two psukim? Teach me the same thing. Says Rishbam, Lashminan, Shaben, Yorish, Shasa'a. Kimo Abbas, to teach you that the son inherits the mother like a daughter. So, Amalei of Papala Abaye, Mimai, how do we know that any of these psukim are talking about the husband getting his wife? Dilma Leola Mimelech, that Baal Loyers, he doesn't inherit his wife. Ukrai Besibas Haben Kedashinin, and really, all these psukim are talking about the fact that it's because of the son, like we explained. V'yar Dezavan Mizvan, Yair, he acquired by buying them. And Pinchas Nami Dezavan Mizvan, maybe he also, and he bought them, and therefore he don't have a raya at all that the husband is acquiring that is inheriting the wife. Amalei, Amalei. Somebody comes and he basically says, listen, out of the five psukim we brought, four of the five of them can explain like you just said, but not by Pinchas. Pinchas is Zavin Mizvan Lo Matzah Samart. You can't say that Pinchas, he bought it. They bought that hill. Dim Kane, because if that was the case, Dim Se Sada Choseres B'Yavah. It would come back that the field that the father gets buried in would go back to the original owner when it comes to Yovel, right? It says if you sell the land, the field, someone else, it's not forever. But when it comes to Yovel, it's going to go back to the original owner. So he's going to vinim tzaddik kever bekever shena shalo. It's going to come out retroactively that a tzaddik is buried in a kever which doesn't belong to him. So therefore, it can't be that we're talking about over here that it was bought. Ela'ema denafalei mistei charamim, says the Gemara. Hold on 1 second. Where can we say that Pinchas could have gotten it in another way besides Yerusha? You could say it came to him through cherem. There's a type of neder called a cherem, charamim, right? And someone goes and he makes a type of neder where a certain vow that that he says that a field will be cherem to the Kohanim, so this become property to the Kohanim himself. So my papa is saying Pinchas was a Kohen. Maybe he got it, right? He got this hill that he was eventually buried in, that he buried his father, through the cherem stickle. So no raya. And we now kind of leave that and move on, which is pretty unbelievable. Now back to the discussion about a woman who gets the land from her father, and then her father dies, so she inherits from the father, so not married out into another tribe, because we don't want that land being transferred over to another tribe. If she then dies, it goes over to the husband or goes to the son. Amar Abaye, hold on a second. At the end of the day, if a woman goes and she gets from two different tribes, and she marries into her father's tribe, then ha kamis akra nachla. Yeah, we have a nachala that's going to be uprooted. We shifted the ima, we shifted the abba from the mother, of the mother to the tribe of the father, right? Because the mother's property, which came from her shevet, is going to now be converted over to this to the woman's husband, who's from the father's tribe. So how can it be? How is it this Chiyuv to marry into the father's tribe going to stop transferring over property to another thing? Umimai, to another shevet. In fact, the Gemara Umimai, who said that we're worried about the fact that the mother's is going to lose her shtickel? Vidilma shiny hasam shikfar husfga. Right over there, the case of the mother's estate is different because it was already transferred over a little bit, because the woman who inherited it from her mother is not from the mother's tribe, right? So therefore, maybe the Torah is only worried about the father's property transferring over to another sheva, but not the mother's one. And trying to stop that is make sure she goes and marries into the father's tribe. Amalei, so Abaye says back, Shekfar husba lo arminan. But maybe we don't say that the mother's property has already been transferred over, has already been converted, and that the Torah is therefore not worried about it passing over again. Like, how do you know that there's really a distinction between these two over here? The father's stuff or the mother's stuff?
If
you want to say that the mother's thing has already been transferred over and the Torah is only worried about the father's being transferred over, now the pasuk, it makes sense that it makes the daughter now to go marry into her father's tribe, because we can explain it, talking about both if it's going over to the son and going over to the husband, right? In other words, the chiyuv to marry to the father's shevet is going to solve both of these, because the woman's husband and her son are going to be the same shevet. If you say that we don't say the mother's stuff has already been transferred over, even when she marries someone from a family of her father's tribe, my hava, what does it make a difference? How right? It's transferred over from the shevet of the mother to that of the father. So the whole setup of here is proving that we're not worried about the conversion of the mother's property from one shevet to another.
Comes the Gemara back in the fence and says, "The minsvinon la legaver davu imishifted davu." Maybe the Torah would necessitate that she be married to a man whose father is from her father's tribe, v'im imishifted ima, and the mother is from her mother's tribe, right? And if you do such a thing, then you have to be worried about any legacy being passed over. Beep, turn the page. Kufya Beis, Amud Beis. Frankly, Gemara, Ihachi. If that's really true, that the woman has to go and marry this guy. Father's in the father's tribe. The mother's from the mother's tribe. Hai le'echad mi'mishpachas mata via v'imam b'ayilei. Then, wrong trap. Hai le'echad mi'mishpachas mata avia v'imam b'ayilei. All right, then the pasuk itself should have said to someone from a family of the tribes of her father and mother, she has to marry, as opposed to saying to someone from a family of her father's tribe. But if it would have said that, I would have said that it's maybe okay, even if the husbands were the opposite of the woman's, meaning the father was from the shevet of the mother, and the mother was from the shevet of the father. And therefore, it says only the father, the teacher, that the husband has to go through the father from the shevet of the woman's father. However, we could still say that the pasuk is saying that the husband's mother has to be is the same as the woman's mother as well.
Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Well, actually, you're going to see two brisas that b'sibas haben, v'tanya b'sibas habal. So we find that the brisa, that one of the psukim that's not allowing you to transfer it over is talking about the problem of the inheritance of the son. Another one is talking about the problem of the husband. Tanya b'sibas haben, velosis of nachal b'nei Yisrael mata elamata. Inheritance of the children of Israel not be transferred from one shevet to another. B'sibas haben, because we're talking about the son. Ato b'sibas haben, who ain't all b'sibas habal. Who said maybe it's talking about the husband? Kishu omer velosis of nachal mata mata acher. For the fact that it says the inheritance should not be transferred from one shevet to another shevet, her b'sibas habal almer. So it's the straight up the husband's said. Halamam rukaim. So what are we going to do? The first pasuk here it says velo siso of nachal lebnei yisrael mata elamata, but sibas haben because we must be talking about that of the son himself. Beep, turn the page. Kufim gimel tanya dach of another brisa velo siso of nachal mata elamata acher. Inheritance should not be transferred from one shevet to another. To another shevet, b'sibas habal, because we're talking about the sibas habal. Atam b'sibas habal, or inel b'sibas haben, we're talking about the son. Kishu omer, velosis of nachal b'nei yisrael matal matal, in fact, it says apostle, kari sibas haben omer, it's already said. Hamam nevakayim, velosis of nachal matal matal, acher b'sibas habal, because we're talking about the sibas habal. Now, the kulei alma, everyone, the kulei alma mias, everyone at least is in agreement. Bimata the mata acher, when the pasuk says you're not going to give over the inheritance from one shiva to another, b'sibas habal comes up. That's talking about the baal. My mashma, how do you know that this is talking about the husband? Amar Rabba bar Rav Shila, Amar Kra Ish. The pasuk says a man, which means it's referring to inheritance by the husband, because it's only the husband who's called such a lashon of ish. Says Rishbam, the mashma baal, kamo ish naami. It's at the lashon of a husband. Tarvayu ish ksivbahu. Says, well, what do you mean? But in both psukim, it says word ish. So why is the second pasuk you want to say it's talking about the inheritance of the husband? Yeah. Yeah, so Elam Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amakra Yidbeku says the Yidbeku should be attached to, and that type of lashon of davuk says Rishpam Yidbeku any lashon davuk Ella being ish leisha kedusiv a davuk beishto. So therefore, we know it's talking about the husband. Tavra Yidbuk Sivu, but it says the word Yidbuku in both Pesukim. So we can't know which one it's talking about over here. Ella, Amar Rav, Rav says, Amar Kra, Pesuk says, Yidbuku Matos, which means that the Pesuk says, the tribes shall cleave, which is pretty straightforward, that the Pesuk is talking about a Yerusha by the husband. For the tribes to cleave to one another is only through marriage. So it's got to be through the husband. The Pesuk says from one tribe to another tribe, which can be understood from a tribe to the tribe of another. Ubein lav acherhu. And the son is not somebody who could be considered another, right? The son, who's the mother's own flesh and blood, wouldn't be considered another, and therefore it's talking about a husband who's not a blood relative. And that is the lashon of the Heilige, Heilige Rashbam, right? Rav Ashi Amar Hachim Ashma Kra, Lo Sosov Nachal Mimata Yish Lamata Acher, Shirashana Baila, Imtinasei Lo Shu Acher Lagabash, he's considered Acher Lagaba, Val Im Nuspas Anachla Yide Bna, Shirasha, Enu Acher Mamish Lagabat, the Yorish Kare Dime, who's considered, you know, her own body. Okay, my friends, we're going to stop over here. I want to tell you all a great, great day.